this scripture verse that you have heard in its reading this morning from the book according to the prophet Ezekiel. If I was to tag this sermon this morning with a title, it would be A New Year, A New Hope.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity, God, to give myself away and to be used by you. God, I thank you for this sacred desk, oh God, from which the word of God is proclaimed Sunday after Sunday. Lord, I thank it not, Robert, I take it not lightly, God, that you have allowed each of us to stand, Lord, and proclaim the gospel. Lord, do what you do best. Fill me up, God. Hide me behind the cross that I might speak your word, God, that your people would be edified and, God, you would be glorified. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. The book of Ezekiel, which was named for its author, the prophet Ezekiel, is a book written to testify of the word of God for the people of God. Ezekiel was a prophet during the time of the great exile of God's people in Babylon, during the last days of Judah's decline and downfall. Ezekiel's ministry in many ways is similar to that of the prophet Jeremiah, his contemporary. The major difference was Jeremiah delivered warning messages of destruction of Jerusalem, while Ezekiel gave warning messages of reconstruction in Babylon. Jeremiah was a prophet of tears, and Ezekiel was a prophet of vision. Those visions range from horror to hope, condemnation upon the faithful leadership and godless enemies, to consolation regarding Judah's future. God's purpose for Ezekiel's life as a prophet can be summed up in two parts. Number one, Ezekiel was to prophesy God's judgment to his people in exile, meaning Judah as well as Jerusalem, as well as the seven nations around his people. Ezekiel was to sustain the faith of God's remnant in exile regarding God's plan of restoration for his people, as well as glory in his kingdom. Ezekiel was also to emphasize the personal responsibility of each individual so that none would try and blame their situation on another. Each had part in their own demise. From the very beginning of this book, God is showing Ezekiel many visions. I have tried reading that book over, and I do read it, but trying to understand all the visions, the wheel within a wheel, and all the things that God keeps showing Ezekiel, and trying to put it in the context of today. And although it's difficult, we still have to go through what God was speaking to his people at that time. Because God's word was for then, and God's word is for now. And so if we were to understand what it is that God would have us to do and how God is speaking to us, we have to apply ourselves to the word of God and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts that we might understand. As I read through the book and speaking about and hearing Ezekiel speak about all the disobedience of God's people and how God's people turned their backs on God and how God just kept blessing them and kept sending his leaders to tell them, his own priests. Ezekiel started out as a priest and he became a prophet after going into the land of Babylon, and how they would run after other gods and forget their covenant with God. Ezekiel not only spoke of the disobedience of the people, but he also prophesied of the judgment that would befall the other nations that mistreated God's people and used them for their own pleasures. Ezekiel had heard so much of God's anger and rebuke that he began to question within himself whether he was right to encourage Judah and to give them hope that a better day was coming. God's anger was so great, Ezekiel began to wonder, is there any hope for us? Not that he didn't believe God could deliver them, but he knew that they had done so many things that were not of God. in today's language, they disrespected God. They did everything they were big and bad enough to do. They stopped worshiping God and turned and did what the heathens around them were doing. They just outright ignored every word of correction that God sent to them to help them before they gave themselves over to total depravity. They did whatever they wanted, took God's blessings for granted, and abused God's prophets for speaking the truth. The priest was decimating God's house. The people were doing all kind of lewd acts, and everything was for sale. Dignity was no longer a value. Purity and holiness was not popular. They became immoral, corrupt, and a degenerate people. Our society, our world is not far from this place in which we're living today. Just recently, I was watching Good Morning America, and they had a psychologist on there who had studied the effects of teens who see other teens engage in sexual acts. That the acts were so close to pornography, they just hadn't given it a name. MTV is making a bundle showing naked teenagers in bed engaging in acts of depraved behavior. Our children are being exploited and exposed to for the profit while their parents sit around and pretend nothing is going on. Why? Because some of them are doing the same thing. They're just not being paid. Just recently, television's highest rated show was for the new season was The Jersey Shore. Another exploit of young adults drinking, drugging, cursing, and engaging in sexual acts on TV. Why? For money. Let's not forget about all those professionals traveling out of this country, going to other countries, to go to depraved nations that allow them to engage in sexual acts with children. We are in a time of total depravity. It may seem as if God doesn't care and he's going to allow this to go on forever, but not so. Not the God that we serve. Ezekiel, hearing God reminds him all the things that God had done with Satan, but he didn't let him stay there. It is in that 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel that God began to speak hope and speak plans for his people. Amen. God extended Ezekiel's assignment to that of a watchman for the people. He was now being held accountable to deliver God's word to the people, no matter how harsh or difficult. And if he didn't do it, he would have the blood of the people on his hands. Once that word was preached, each person was responsible for their own sin. Just like we today, when we are responsible for our own sin, and it's up to us to repent. The preacher or the deacon can't repent for you, and the prayer warrior can't pray you back into God's graces. You must go to God for yourself. Go down on your knees and ask God for forgiveness. God will hear your prayer. It is not up to the preacher. It is not up to the deacon or the deaconess. It's up to us to pray for ourselves. Although this word was for the people of that time, it is also for us. We may not engage in the practices I've mentioned, but sin is still sin. And we must be mindful that even people who don't know our mess, but God knows our mess. God told Ezekiel, preach to his people. No, I'm not happy about the way you've handled yourself and your relationship with me, but I still love you. You might have to go through some things, but I'm gonna bring you out if you just trust me and believe me. In this 36th chapter, the one which we are lifting up on today, God told Ezekiel, he took him to a mountain and he revealed his plan of hope for his people. God opened up the dialogue with what he was going to do to the enemy and how he was going to do it. About the retributions toward these nations that he was going to take his people out of exile for, and he was going to do away with the people who had abused them and forced them to partake in things that were not of God. He then shared the plan of hope and promise. This message is about hope that we have in God. That as Christians, followers of Christ, we can mess up and do things that are against his will, but we are not lost. He promised us that if we would repent and truly seek his face, he would change us from the inside out. And for those who are worshiping with us today, who have not received Jesus as your personal Savior, you still got time. You still got time. You still got time. The first thing God tells Ezekiel to tell his people is found in that 23rd verse. And it reads as thus, "But I will show everyone how holy my great name is. You have treated it as if it is not holy. So I will use you to show the nations how holy I am. Then you will know that I am God," announced the Lord and King. In other words, those who don't believe that God is who he says he is, he's going to show you by the blessing of his people. I'm sure many of you have heard people question, "Where is God? How could God allow this to happen? God is right here with us, waiting for us to repent." For all of those people who thought they had gotten away with hurting and terrorizing God's people, God is putting you on notice. Every person in position of power who think they can make rules and pass laws and cause God's children to suffer needlessly, you are being put on notice today. God says, "It may look like I'm dead, it may look like I'm asleep, but I just have my pajamas on. I'm coming and you're gonna pay." My dad used to warn us with these words whenever he was leaving the house so that we wouldn't misbehave. He would say, "Every shut eye isn't sleep and every goodbye isn't gone. So you better behave yourself." And so I'm saying to you, God's eye ain't shut and he ain't asleep. We better behave ourselves today. I know you can relate to this one. You and your sister or brother could have just had the biggest fight. But if anyone else put their hands on you, there was really going to be a battle. You would beat up on your sister or your brother, but nobody else could. That's how God feels about us. He can correct us, and he can beat us down, but nobody else better. So God is saying, "I'm coming, and I'm going to correct my people." The second word of hope is found in verse 25. "I will sprinkle pure water on you, then you will be clean. I will make you completely pure and clean. I will take all the statues of your gods away from you." God has promised us in this 25th verse that in spite of our mistakes and our backslidings, he will remove those who have led us astray and show them that he is God. And for those who confess him as their Lord and Savior, he will protect them and he will restore them. God is so serious about it that he sent his only begotten son, who gave his life that no one could stand between him and us. Let's not get it twisted. We can't go out there doing anything and saying anything and treating people any way we want to just because we are Christian. Oh yes, God expects us to worship him, to praise him, and to own him as our God. Here, let's make it real here. How would you like it if you were in a relationship with someone and you were out one day and this person, your friend, your significant other, runs into somebody that they know? And here you are standing beside and they act like they don't even know you. In fact, they almost embarrassed that they're being seen with you. This is how God feels when we treat him that way. Because he's a God who takes care of us, he blesses us, he gives us health and strength to live a decent life. Yet we pretend when we're around others that we don't know him. Even in fact, we won't even mention his name. God is not happy with what we're doing today. He's saying, "I have blessed you and I expect you to be a blessing. I have spoken into your heart and into your mind, and I expect you to tell somebody else about the living God." Yes. The living God, the true God, the one who blesses us each and every day. Whether you accept it or not, you are not here on your own. You are here because God has blessed you to be here. God has gotten you up out of that bed this morning and helped you to jump into that shower, put those clothes on, and walk through those doors. It's not of your own. Let's not get it twisted now. This is about God. We are his people. And every now and then, just like a parent who loves their children, they have to be corrected sometimes. I'm not pointing a finger at nobody today. It's about us and what we do and the way we behave and the way we treat each other. Backbiting, backstabbing, jealousy, envy, all those things that we carry around in our hearts. God said, "Let it go. I do the blessing in this world, not you." Not you. Nobody has the power to bless you unless I let them. This same God, Jehovah, the great provider, say, "If you repent, I'll forgive you. I'll pour living water on you and clean you up. I'll even go a step further and make you pure before me." When you have repented and given your life over to the Lord, forget about the naysayers who tell you you can't do nothing and that God doesn't love you because you've made some mistake. Tell them God promises to forgive me and he's poured pure water on me that I might be clean. Yeah. The word of God found in 2 Chronicles 7 says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We got to pray, people. We got to turn from our wicked ways. We got to start thinking about what we're doing, what we're saying, and how we're treating people. God is not happy with what's going on. We can't be like the other folk out there in the world. Don't get mixed up in worldly things. Study the word of God and walk in the way that God would have you to walk. Don't think it's just about Sunday morning. It's 7 days a week. Every day that you put your foot on the floor, when you get out of that bed, say, God, use me as you will. I'm yours, God. Help me to be a blessing today. Help me to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Don't let me take it for granted that I got up this morning. Somebody couldn't put their feet on the floor. Somebody had to wash them. Somebody had to clothe them today. But God is in the blessing business. He's blessing us. He's blessing us. He's blessing us. Look at us. We have no need if we really be truthful about it. We say we need. We know we want. Yes, there are some who are in need, but God is in the blessing business. There is hope. There is hope, for the word tells us there is hope. The word of God, the word of God, this third word found in the 26th verse says, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit that is faithful to me. I will remove your stubborn heart from you, and I will give you a heart that obeys me. Amen. In the Old Testament, the heart is not a place of love and sorrow, of romance and tenderness, joy and compassion. These are our words and understanding for the meaning of the word heart. In the Old Testament, the heart is the seat of wisdom, the place of memory. A person thinks that with, the person thinks with the heart, make plans with the heart, come to decisions with the heart. Those of you who love God with all of your heart, you are in an upright heart position, and your heart can also be in a place of downfall. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? But not only did God promise to return what was taken from us, but he also promised to give us a new heart. When we are dead in our sins, our hearts are hardened towards God. We don't hear him, nor do we want to hear him. When God renews our heart, he gives us a heart that seeks after him. We are changed. We respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. When our hearts are hard, we are not interested in spiritual things. We make excuses for our behavior and keep doing what we're doing, whether it's right or wrong. Jesus died and paid the price we deserve so that God could break through with the power that held us in death's grip. God promised Judah and Israel a new heart, and he promises us a new heart today. The hymn writer Robert Robinson, not Judique, but Robert Robinson in the 1700 pen. Come thy font. And there's one little verse in it that says, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger imposed his precious blood. You see, God is come looking for us. He's not going to leave us where we are. I see you looking at me like I'm not somewhere out there. But you have to understand that we have to constantly be told, because if we don't, we'll sway to the other side. And Satan is always there looking to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we have to walk circumspectly before the Lord. We have to walk a narrow path, and it's not easy, because life can do some things to you and cause you to step out of your lane. Sometimes somebody cut me off and I have to catch myself, because I might say the wrong thing. I might even want to do the wrong thing. For a minute I said, what would Jesus do? And I slow down and let them go on. Here we are. God has promised us, hoping that he would remove our enemy and they will know that he is God. He is not doing it for us, but he's doing it because he wants them to know that he's God. You know, people that say, oh, there is no God. and that no one was going to get away with hurting his people. It's good to belong to God. It's good to know that God cares about us. Amen. A God who can fight any battle and he can win them all. Amen. I just want to tell you today that there's a fourth word that God promises us that's found in this 27th verse. And it says, I'll put my spirit in you. I'll move you to follow my rules. I want you to be careful to keep my laws. Here, God's promises are real and they are true. He promises to put his spirit in us. Jesus told his disciples, you must be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We too must be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is God's spirit. God promised us whosoever received his son would be endued. The Greek word for endued means to be clothed with the spirit of God. Just in case someone here doesn't know what a blessing that is today, just let me tell you a few things what will happen when you're endued with the Holy Spirit of God. You will have prophetic utterances and praise. You will be sensitive to sin that grieves the Holy Spirit. You'll seek after righteousness. You'll live a life that glorifies God. You will have greater desire to pray and intercede on behalf of others. You'll have a great love for the Word of God. No one will have to force you or put you on a guilt trip because you will strive off of the Word of God. There is so much more that I could say about this walk and this journey with God and how he constantly reveals himself to his people, how he does new and wondrous things each and every day. We just look past them, but God can do some new and wondrous things in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to have the life that God has promised that we would have, the life that would allow us to follow behind the Christ. There's this story I read, and it talks about a Native American elder who came to faith in Jesus. And he described the struggles of the flesh and the spirit to a younger man by saying, it feels like there are two dogs fighting inside of me. The younger man asked, which dog wins? The older man replied, whichever one I feed. So I'm asking you today, which dog are you feeding today? Are you feeding the things of the Spirit or are you feeding the things of God? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you reading your scriptures? Are you having a Christian fellowship and worship with fellow Christians? Or are you allowing the things of the world to rob you of the spiritual things of God? What are you doing? Which dog are you feeding today? Just for today, there's some more to come, but just for today, our last promise of hope I share with you this morning is found in that 28th verse. You will live in the land I give your people long ago. You will be my people and I will be your God. God is going to take back what the enemy stole from us. He promised that which he gives that no man, no woman, and no nation will be able to hold. We will be restored and he will be our God. These promises are for those who came before us. It's for us today and for those that will come after us. Our receiving of the promises of God depend upon us recognizing who we're serving. Are you serving a God or are you being led astray by those who operate in perceived power? Only God has the power to give us hope in the midst of what seems to be the worst of times. Everywhere we look, everything we hear, there's just trouble everywhere. Some of our children are being lost in the evil of this world today, yet we seem powerless to stop it. Our sons have lost the desire to be recognized as a man. Nigga just seemed to suit them fine. Our girls are willing to settle for being addressed as bees, so happy to have a thug acknowledge her. We're so desperate for money, we'll sell our dignity for what's only temporary. The lures of power is intoxicating. We forget all about our values and do just about anything for a moment of glory. Marvin Gaye in his Better Days said it right when he asked the question, what's going on? War is not the answer. We got to find a way to bring more love and understanding here today. What's going on, people? The world is depraved and corrupt, but we are the children of God. He's given us a promise. All we have to do is study his word, stay on our knees, love one another, and treat each other with dignity. community. Know that God is God and tell everybody everywhere you go that there is a living God who is not dead and that he is still here to take care of us. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to know that God will come and find us when we mess up. He'll remove the holes the enemy have on us, wash us, and clean us up with pure water. Then he will work on our hearts and turn it back towards him. And if that isn't enough, he'll fill us with his spirit. I know only once saved, always saved, but the Bible says, according to Acts 4:31 and Ephesians 5:18, being filled with the Spirit of God bring the believer into a relationship that is to be renewed and to be maintained. Salvation is progressive. The more time you spend with God, the stronger your relationship with God will become. These scriptures we shared this morning tells us whatever situation we find ourselves in, when we surrender to God and accept the gift of Christ and repent, that these promises of God will come true for us. God will come and fix us up. He'll come and get us out of our darkest places and return us to a right relationship with him. For Israel, it was the land and their home. For us, it is the church of Jesus Christ. Some of us are sitting in church week after week out of habit, but our love for God has waned. That thirst, that drive for a closer relationship with God is gone. Perhaps the enemy came in and stole your joy. Believe God for it again, and he will restore it. Perhaps you lost your hope that life would not get any better. Trust God and know that if you just receive the promise of his word, he'll give you peace and joy, no matter what the situation or the circumstances may be. God will give you a new hope for what seems impossible, for what there is nothing impossible for God. You see, Sarah was 90 and Elizabeth was 60 and past their childbearing ages. But what seemed impossible for them at that age to give birth? But God says not so. He showed up and he showed out. You see, there was Mary and there was Martha believing God. If God had been present, their brother Lazarus would not have died. You see, God showed up and he showed out. He brought Lazarus back from the dead. I'm telling you today, there was a woman with an issue of blood. You see, for 15 years, she walked around. She couldn't get no help anywhere. She went from doctor to doctor, spent every dime that she had. But then one day, the Savior came through. On the nick of time, Jesus came right in the nick of time. You see, Jesus will come right in the nick of time. I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care what you're going through. God will come, he'll show up, and he'll show out. You see, he gave her a new life. He gave her a new mind, a new thought pattern. When she thought she was gone, that it was all over, Jesus showed up, and he's still showing up today. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to give up. I don't care what winds blow. I don't care what thunder rolls. I don't care what the naysayers say. I know who I serve, and he's a God that can do anything but fail. Anything but fail. Somebody in here today want to give up because it looks like they can't make it. But God sent me today to tell you, yes, you can make it. You just got to turn your face towards me. Stop listening to the white noise out there, but listen to my word. Know that I am all powerful, that I can do anything. I don't care how low you go. You see, Lazarus was dead, but God brought him back to life. You see, Sarah was 90, and she thought it was all over. But God says, not so. If I said it, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should confess. If I said it, I shall bring it to pass. I shall bring it to pass. Amen. The Israelites had forgotten about God, but God did not forget about them. Mm-hmm. Let this new year be a revival of new hope. Come on. Don't let go of God's promises to us. If God promised it, he's well able to perform it. I ask that you would stand now, that we open up the doors of this church. Thank you.